Here on Summer Breakfast here on Radio National, Waleed Ali is my name, and I'm about to be joined by Darren Osborne, who speaks science, and I'm excited about this because I have a confession to make. My daughter and I could eat an infinite number of tomatoes, I reckon. We could get through just about as many as there are in the universe, and it sounds like there's about to be a whole lot more. If you don't know what I mean, Darren Osborne does. Hi, Darren.
Good morning, Waleed.
This sounds really exciting to me.
I'm glad you're excited, because I'm excited too about it.
Take us through this really interesting discovery.
This is reported in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences this week. Some researchers over in the US at the Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory have cracked the mechanism, the genetic mechanism that determines when tomato plants stop growing their branches and when they start growing fruit.
Oh, hang on. All right. Now, you're going to have to explain that to me.
Okay. So, when a tomato plant starts to grow, and I reckon this would be an interesting sort of experiment if your tomato plants have already started fruiting, it might be a bit too late for you, but right. Maybe try again next season. Mm. Is to take a look at the plant as it grows. And what actually occurs is that the stem cells at the tips of each of the branches, they will slowly grow longer and longer branches, and occasionally they will divide into more branches, and then they will grow and they will divide. And then there is a point in the plant's life where there is this tiny genetic switch. Actually, it's not quite tiny. I'll explain in a second. Mm-hmm. Switches on and stops the branching and starts creating the flowers. Those flowers, once they're pollinated, then become the fruit. And hence, that gives you that great sort of, you know, feast that you and your daughter can have.
Okay, so at the risk of revealing ignorance here, basically what happens is the plant reaches a fork in the road and it decides to go branch or flower, and it does branching for a while. And
that's
then
right.
At some point it does flowering, and that's where you get your fruit.
Exactly.
And now, so what's the significance of figuring out what that switch is about?
Okay, well, what the researchers have found is this genetic switch, which is called interfluorescence or interfluorescence meristems. What it does is, as I said, it stops that branching effect and then starts to fruit. Now, that's important for the researchers, because they want to know why wild varieties of tomato seem to grow many more fruit or many more branches and hence more fruit than our more cultivated varieties. Mm-hmm. And what they found is that in the wild varieties, they actually seem to delay the point at which they made this switch. They kept on growing their branches and kept dividing into more and more and more until they have basically double the amount of branches that your more cultivated varieties have. And hence, then when they went to create the fruit, they had more fruit on the actual plant.
So it takes longer to get your fruit, but when you get it, you get lots more of it.
That's probably a good point. Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, well, thank you.
You've passed tomatoes 101 for this morning. The big challenge now is that the switch is actually not tiny. As I mentioned, it actually consists of 4,000 genes. So it's quite a complicated switch. What the researchers now want to do is to tinker around with each of those genes. Yes, it's genetic modification. And then work out how they can get the cultivated varieties to grow more branches. But they have to be very careful, because if you overdo the number of branches, you're going to create too much fruit and therefore too much stress on the plant. And it's not going to be able to grow big, you know, hearty fruit in
the
end.
Okay, but here's the question. Does the fact that the cultivated tomatoes that we have produce less fruit, is that result from the fact that we've modified them in some way, or that we fiddle with them?
Yeah, look, we obviously have over the hundreds of years or centuries in which we've domesticated plants. And this is one of the interesting things about science, actually. Genetic modification is in some ways no different to, you know, more traditional forms of hybridization and so forth in plants. It's just we're doing it at a much quicker rate. And I say genetic modification, I'm not talking about transgenics, where you take a gene from one species and put it into another. I'm talking about just switching on and off genes within the plant that already exists.
Sure, but if we tinkered in the past and it led to a lower yield, you know, are we a bit game trying to take it on again to try to get a higher yield?
Oh, why not? We got the tools.
Fair enough then. What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly.
Does this work only for tomatoes, or could you do it for other things like, you know, potatoes or zucchinis or whatever?
That's an interesting point. They didn't raise it in the study, but you know, maybe I should get on the phone and give them a call.
Look, go do the research yourself.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, you
maybe
can break
we
it.
Thankfully, we don't go to the. Actually, we might on podcast.
Well, we're streaming. I'm sure
we're in trouble. We've let the cat out of the bag.
But I'm sure. Look, we just take the punt that they're not listening. And then that way you can go do it.
All right. Well, we'll try it with other varieties. Actually, I need some luck with my strawberries because I'm not having many luck with strawberries this summer. So maybe I need to tinker in the backyard into the garage and do a bit of genetic modification on those.
Oh, just on the weekend? Just some lazy time. Genetic modification. I mean, look, I know the research hasn't done this, but given what you know about it, do you have a hunch about whether this would work for other plants, or do you think, does the research suggest that something's really specific to tomatoes?
No, look, it seems that, based on from what I've read, it would be something that would feature in a number of plants, in fact, probably all plants, one would think, or flowering plants. So I would not be surprised if this is something that would pop up in just about any flowering plant. So you could probably, even get it to your domestic sort of, I don't know, daisies or something like that, if you wanted more flowers in the garden and so forth. So, I don't know. Watch this space.
I'm a little worried about this, though, I've got to admit, Darren, because this is just feeding a whole culture of more, isn't it? More flowers, more fruit, more everything.
Well, I suppose if we, the population, we passed 7 billion this year in October, and, it's estimated that we're going to hit 10 billion in the population sometime this century before it starts to plateau, and we need to feed all those mouths. And so, like we had the Green Revolution back in the 1970s, we might need the Tomato Revolution sometime in the 21st century to help. So I think, obviously there's a push to produce more with less, basically, because we're going to have less and less resources, whether it be water or land or other things. So these sorts of things can't hurt as long as they're done in a proper way with all the checks and balances.
Yeah, well, I suppose that makes perfect sense. It'll be a tomato-led recovery. Thanks very much, Darren.
Thank you.
He's the ABC Science News Editor.